Let's now turn our attention to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12. Lord's Day number 12, which continues summarizing the Bible's teaching on who Christ is. And so let's respond to question 31 and 32. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief priest and prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and ever lives to make intercession for us with the Father, and our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and defends and preserves us in the redemption obtained for us. But why are you called a Christian? Because by faith I am a member of Christ, and thus a partaker of his anointing, in order that I may also confess his name, may present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and with a free conscience may fight against sin and the devil in this life, and hereafter in eternity reign with him all over all creatures. Dear congregation, we can usually tell who someone is based upon what they do. And I know this because most of the time when we're introducing ourselves to somebody, especially if they're new, what's one of the questions we ask them? What do you do for a living? What's your job? What's your occupation? Usually what someone does is an indicator of where they're at in life. And especially if they're working at a career job, it tells us a lot about who that person is, what their experience is, and what they're going for, what their skills are. In the same way, when we talk about the three offices of Christ, we are learning about who Jesus is. God ordained three special offices in the Old Testament: prophet, the priest, the high priest, and the king. The prophet is someone who speaks for God, right? That's what a prophet does. He speaks in God's place. So when the prophet is speaking, it's really God who is speaking. The high priest is the one who intercedes on behalf of the people to make a sacrifice for them, to go into the temple on behalf of the people, to cleanse them from their sin and unrighteousness. And of course, the king is the one who rules and reigns over the people with his authority. And each of those offices point to who Jesus is. It explains who Jesus is and what he has done for us. As the prophet, he reveals the will of God. Jesus is called the Word made flesh in the Scriptures, because through Jesus and his life, he reveals the entire plan of salvation. His whole life is unfolding the plan of salvation, which cannot be said of any other prophet or anybody else in history, because he is the God-man who has come to accomplish our redemption. So that's him as the prophet. And also Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he says that, at least in part, as the prophet. As a high priest, he cleanses us from all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness, not by a sacrifice of an animal, but by his once and for all sacrifice that he gave on the cross. And while Jesus, there's actually a moment between Jesus and the disciples in John chapter 13 where he's washing the feet of the disciples. One by one, he goes through each of their feet. And then when he comes to Peter, Peter denies it, right? Or rejects Jesus. I don't want you to wash my feet, Jesus. That is beneath you. And then listen to the words that Jesus says in response to Peter. Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. And those words have layers of meaning behind them. And Jesus speaks those words as our priest, because if he does not wash us clean, we're not clean at all. And also the water of baptism points to the washing away of our sins and our union we have with Christ. And so that's Jesus as the high priest. And Jesus as the king says, all the authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. So Christ, in that point, which I'm very excited to get there in our series in Matthew, but at that point, Jesus speaks not only as one who has all authority as our creator, but as one who has all authority, but as the one who has all authority as our redeemer as well. And so if you read Revelation 19, that's the last book of the Bible, and the climactic moment where it summarizes where we're headed as a church. Revelation 19 says, also describes all three offices of Jesus. And when Jesus, or when John is seeing this vision, he sees this man who is riding a white horse, which we know is Jesus himself. And he describes him like this. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. There's the priest part. His robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, which explains, or at least points to his role, his office as a prophet. And then towards the end of that passage, John says, with his robe and on his robe and on his thigh is a name written, and the name that is written is, he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords. The beautiful description of all three offices of our Lord Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. And the more we understand Jesus' work as prophet, priest, and king, we actually understand who we are as Christians, as men and women who believe by faith in Christ, because we are a people who belong to this Christ, and our lives are defined as prophets, as priests, as kings. Of course, not in the same level as Christ himself, but because we share in that identity. It's actually what we do is we respond to what Christ has done in those offices. And the Catechism says we are partakers of his anointing, which means we as Christians are called to reflect each of these offices in our lives. And so Jesus, as a prophet, or because Jesus is the prophet, he says he is the truth, and therefore we in response are called to bear witness that he is the truth. And we do that in our lives, in applying that to our lives, but also by reading and applying his word. Right? And because Jesus is our high priest, we ought to reflect this office by in our prayers, living our whole lives with hearts of gratitude. Right? As Paul says in Romans 12, that we give our entire lives as a thank offering to the Lord. And that's how we reflect our office as a priest. And because Jesus is our king, we ought to respond to that by fighting in the spiritual warfare that we are all in. We fight against our sin, we fight against the world, and we fight against the devil, knowing that Christ has already gained the victory. So the more we understand these three offices, that Jesus is prophet, priest, and king, the more we understand who we are in Christ. Amen.